Hi, everyone, and welcome to the HR Works Podcast, brought to you by HR Daily Advisor. The HR Works Podcast provides clear, relevant, and actionable information on topics that matter to you, the HR professional. When you're armed with the best practices and strategies to attract, retain, and engage top talent and deliver exceptional service to your organization, HR just works.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to HR Works. I'm your new host, Bianca Herron, content manager here at HR Daily Advisor. Today's guest is no stranger to Works. In fact, he's earned the title of Friend of the Podcast. I'm excited to be joined by Jesse Meschuk, Senior Advisor at Exequity. Over the course of his more than 20-year career as a human capital advisor and career and HR expert, Jesse has provided great insight as a member of the HR community. And of course, his impressive track record continues today as he has returned to help us learn more about the latest generation to join the workforce, Generation Z. And specifically, we'll be discussing how this generation wants to experience work. So let's just dive right into things. Jesse, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me again. Great to be here. I consider it a badge of honor to be a friend of the podcast. So that's awesome. Thank you.
Absolutely. You're welcome. So again, we're going to dive right in. We're talking about Gen Z and the workforce. And of course, there's been a slew of stats that have come out about this generation. So by 2029, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics projects that one third of the U.S. workforce will be members of Gen Z. And this generation not only brings unprecedented diversity that many DI leaders hope will enable more inclusive and equitable excitement. But Gen Z also brings uncertainty. And there's been a lot of media coverage and anecdotal complaints about Gen Z employees. And as a result, a lot of myths and stereotypes about these employees have been floating around. And some of them include that they're lazy and they don't want to work. They don't want to advance. They have no loyalty and all they care about is money. They don't want to come into the office. And of course, that they're so hard to work with. Now, Jesse, what are some of the misconceptions employers have about Gen Z? And are these really warranted?
Yeah, I mean, first, I'm really excited to have this conversation today because these are, you know, really interesting topics. And in particular, you know, I've seen a lot of those studies as well, right? That or articles that talk about this. And, you know, the first thing I would want to say is that it's important to note that actually, if you look at the real data, the statistics, so studies that have been done by Gartner or Deloitte, Stanford, McKinsey, there's, you know, a bunch of these that have been done. What those basically tell us is that actually Gen Z is not all that different than other generations, right? And that in general, actually, these generational studies actually show that we're not really that different from each other. So some of the common misconceptions, you know, you mentioned some of them, that Gen Z isn't motivated and, you know, that they're job hoppers and they're not that interested in a career, that all they want is, you know, salary, et cetera. Well, actually, the data shows that they're just as motivated as other generations. They want a productive relationship with their managers just as much as other generations do. They want to build a long-term career just as much as the rest of us. And yeah, they want a higher salary, but so does everyone else. And they also want, you know, upside through performance. And so these are just some of the misconceptions, you know, and, you know, the other idea that they all want to work remote, that's actually not true either. Actually, what's interesting is the data shows that Gen Z wants a hybrid work environment, perhaps more than some other generations due to kind of the age that they came about into the workforce. But actually full-time remote, they want less than other generations. And so these are just some of the things to really dig into. And, you know, I think the other point I would make is that I think it's where there are differences. And I'm sure you'll get to some of these questions, but it's really driven by the context with which Gen Z has come into the workforce, like what's been happening around them as they grew up and as they entered the workforce. So I'm excited to talk about some of that too.
Absolutely. And I want to get to that. And of course, I want to get to why many of them don't want to work remote as well. One of the recent stats that I also have here as well, employees use remote work as a hiring tactic to attract Gen Z workers, but only 11% of Gen Z workers will prefer to be fully remote. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, you know, and that's actually an interesting stat. I saw that same one. And when you look at other studies of non-Gen Z generations, about a third of that group wants to be fully remote. So Gen Z is like one third of the desire for fully remote, right? So that's a pretty big difference. And I think a lot of this actually has to go to not that Gen Z is so much different than other generations, but more that what stage of life is Gen Z in? So I think Gen Z, the statistic is they were born in 1997 or later, right? Which means that the oldest Gen Z employee is 26. Okay. So that means they're roughly 4 years into the workforce. So if you just think back for you and I, when we were that age, what were we thinking? Well, we're still younger in career, mm-hmm. likely don't yet have a family. A lot of our friends are associated with who we work with, right? And so what's the reason they don't want to be fully remote? Well, they want social connections. They want activities to do, you know, with their colleagues. And if you're working fully remote, that's harder, right? You don't have as much connection in that way. And so I can totally understand this statistic because I think it's driven by kind of where you are in your career and your life stage and that sort of thing. And, you know, when you get out of that and you get older, you're juggling so many other priorities, right? You have families, you have, your kids have a lot of obligations. You got older parents you might need to take care of. And so your need for fully remote or the benefits of fully remote are probably a lot more salient for you. And so this is what I think drives that difference.
Absolutely. And I would also say that we didn't have a global pandemic either at that time as well.
That's totally right. Totally right.
Now, what is Gen Z looking for in the workplace?
Yeah, I think there are a few things that they're looking for that are maybe a little bit more that are differentiated from other generations. You mentioned at the start that they're highly interested in a diverse workplace and an inclusive workplace. And that's true. You know, it's something like 70% of Gen Z is looking for their company to be more inclusive. And actually, they're more critical of their companies on how committed they are to DEI activities and making that a core part of their workplace. And I think that is because they've also come of age in a place where we're just more educated about things like neurodiversity, the benefits of a more diverse world and workplace. They've grown up in a much more interconnected world where, you know, I even know for my own kids, they're very aware of what's happening in world events. And so the world is smaller, increasingly smaller. And so they're more increasingly aware of differences. And so things like that, gender and non-binary diversity, very important to them. And so they consider diversity, equity, and inclusion a lot more broadly than other generations, largely because I think they're just more educated. Like they grew up with this a lot, hearing about this a lot more. And so that's something that's important to them. And what comes along with that are, you know, policies they want to see in the workplace, encouraging a more diverse workforce, encouraging things like pay equity, and what are companies doing to try to drive that. And I think all of that's great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And why do you think, let me backpedal a little bit. You've already, made the case, and of course, case in point, that Gen Z isn't that different from previous generations. We seemingly want the same things. The only things it seems like that is really a key differentiator, with Gen Z employees is, of course, just the context of what they've grown up in, and they're more educated in basically their experiences. I say all that to say and to ask, why do you think this generation has received so much negative connotation?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Well, first, I think we like to call out differences. Mm-hmm. You know, we are, we're a tribal species. And so we tend to want to encircle and sort of say, you know, who's my tribe and then who's not in my tribe, or how do I compare tribes? And so, you know, we do that on a country basis, a city basis. We do that on a background basis, on a socioeconomic basis. And so I think this is just like a continuation of that. We always want to compare ourselves into different buckets. I think also it's driven by that there are a lot of factors that have been happening in the economy that tend to lend to generalizations like this. So, you know, if you think about what's been happening in the world, right? They came into the workforce, you know, right as COVID was really kicking off, right? So that would be a place in which they're looking for more flexible work environments in general, although they still want to be, you know, hang out with their colleagues. And they're probably much more adept to how to work remotely. And so I think that created some impressions. I think that they've also grown up in a environment in which, look, they've seen a lot of economic uncertainty, mm-hmm. right? So Gen Z grew up in during the time of the Great Recession. So 2008, 2009, you know, they're pretty young at that point. So what did they see? You know, that was the longest recession since World War II. And, you know, the GDP went down 4%, unemployment went up to 10% across the whole economy. So they saw their parents losing their jobs, economic opportunities being more limited. And then when they came into the workforce, it was COVID, like I mentioned, which, you know, there was huge unemployment at the beginning of that. You know, I think youth unemployment was 27% in 2020. So they've actually seen some real difficult environments. And so in that case, you tend to want to look for, you're going to seek kind of the best opportunity for yourself, and you may not be as loyal to an employer because you worry about whether that job might be around tomorrow, which is a very logical conclusion. And so I think that makes employers think that Gen Z isn't loyal, but actually I think they're just being rational actors with kind of what they've experienced as they've grown up and come into the workforce. And so I think these are things to just keep in mind. I think there's a few other factors to keep in mind too. Like one of them would be they've come of age in a period of pretty rapid technological change. So if you think about that, just like a few things, like, you know, what's hot in the news right now is artificial intelligence and what that's going to be doing to the workplace, right? So I saw another podcast actually, where they were talking about the compute power of AI, and that is doubling right now every 6 months. So, you know, every year that's growing 4x, right? And so that's creating all kinds of immense change in the workplace. And, you know, just think about how transformative that will be. But they've seen that with all kinds of other things from, you know, genetic editing. So like CRISPR, which was helped create the, you know, a lot of advancements in pharmaceuticals and medicine and mRNA, which was used for the COVID vaccine. They've seen changes in things like electric vehicles, even the advancements in your iPhone, right? So they've seen a lot of technological change. I think that influences their thinking around work. I think they've seen a lot of things like the rise of the gig economy and new roles and, you know, things like, you know, you may not need to have a steady employer. You might actually be able to make it work if you kind of create your own, you're a little more entrepreneurial and create your own opportunities. They probably listen to a lot of influencers who have, or see a lot of influencers who have built their own businesses through TikTok and Instagram and, you know, that sort of thing. I would also say, let's not underestimate what I mentioned before, the difficulty of what they've seen, right? So they went through COVID, which was quite difficult and pretty stressful. And the overall impact on mental health for younger populations has been pretty well documented. And so I think that's another factor that, you know, the emphasis on mental health and the importance of that, I think Gen Z is a lot more sensitive to that than perhaps other generations have been. And it's not saying that Gen Z is subject to more mental health issues than other generations. I actually think we probably all are subject to many of the same stressors. It's just that Gen Z is more educated about understanding what it actually is and how to deal with it. And maybe being more aware of calling this out as a factor and what we need to do to improve it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'd also like to add too, you mentioned how even during the recession of 2008, you know, the unemployment rate skyrocketed to 10%. So who knows, you know, they may have seen their parents lose a job or both or another family member. And now they're seeing, let's just give an example of their family members work multiple jobs and the stress that comes along with that and still trying to raise them, you know, and their siblings. So they've seen quite a bit.
Yeah, all those stressors add up, right? And they have seen all of that, and that has imprinted on in their minds. And so, as it would with anybody who had gone through that.
Awesome. Okay, so we've given context to these Gen Z, and of course, them as employees as well, what they're looking for, the misconceptions that employers can keep in mind. What advice do you now have for employers and HR leaders who are hiring and bringing on Gen Z employees to their team? You've given them things to keep in mind, but is there anything else that they should know how to navigate these employees? Is it just being kind, which of course is a general rule of thumb, I would think?
Yeah. It's a great question. And yes, I think the first thing is let's avoid generalizing and drawing conclusions, right, about Gen Z, that they're so difficult or, you know, have all of these things that are hard to deal with. Let's realize that, number one, the context with which they have come into the workforce, and number two, just the life stage that they're in. And we're not all that different. And avoid putting a one-size-fits-all approach toward Gen Z. That would be the first thing. But maybe some specifics on things to keep in mind, given all of the factors for them and what's happening in the economy and the world today. So the first would be, you know, keep in mind that Gen Z is still pretty early in their career. And so what do you want when you're early in your career? Well, you want to be learning, you want to be developing, you constantly want to feel like you're challenged. So think about what you're doing to develop young people in your organization. Do you have the right development programs? Do you have the right mentors? Are your managers properly trained in how to spend time on development and education, knowing that that's going to be 1/3 of your workforce here in just, you know, 5 years or so? We're increasingly going to see a big influx of this talent. So make sure your organization is prepared in how to develop them. The second thing I would say is they probably think a little differently about careers, right? So whereas maybe traditionally people would get into a certain field like finance or HR or engineering, they're used to an environment that has people are a little bit more entrepreneurial, self-starting. They have seen people create some of their own businesses. And so they probably think a little bit more laterally about skills and careers. And so companies should also. So think of a more flexible career path where it's not maybe so discipline-based, but something in which people can build skills in marketing and finance. And you might be able to leverage both of those things. And helping people become athletes across multiple functions might be an asset in retaining them. So that would be one. Another one, I'd say, let's be realistic about what we know is going to happen in the world here over the next 5 to 10 years. We're going to continue to see this advance in technology, the impact of AI. So leverage your younger workforce and Gen Z to continue to be educated about that and integrate them and help them be prepared for how to best use that. They might actually be somewhat better equipped than maybe even older generations in how to adapt that new technology and use it. And so leverage them to help you. I think you'll see a lot of employees, you know, really latch onto that. And then finally, I would say, I think Gen Z is looking for a lot of authenticity and trust. They have seen rough times early in their life and already into entering the workforce. You know, and just recently, a lot of news about layoffs all over the place, right? So it's a hard environment. And so what that means is they want to be given the news directly. They want a more open line of communication with leadership. They want to hear directly from the leaders of the organization. How are we really doing? What's the truth about our performance? What is it going to take for us to advance? So I think if you have a more authentic, transparent conversation with the workforce in general, but particularly for Gen Z, you'll start to build more trust, loyalty, and you'll start to retain talent better. So forget the platitudes and kind of the corporate language and just tell it to them straight. And I think that will garner more respect.
Absolutely. Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about, particularly with Gen Z, before we move on?
Let's see. I think I spoke a little bit about where there are some differences in talking about, you know, their expectation for a diverse workforce. But I also think there are a couple other things that are important. Like I mentioned, mental health, they're a little bit more aware of that. So emphasizing mental health in benefit programs and what the company offers and being maybe more transparent about the struggles on that, educating managers on how to properly help employees that might be struggling with that or how to point out what resources are available. I think that's an important one. I saw a stat that said something like 55% of Gen Z have said that at some time they have, you know, struggled with mental health, which again, I don't think that's more than other generations. I just think that they're more educated and willing to
talk about it.
Right. And so companies should be ready for that. And then the final thing is sustainability is also really important. So coming of age in which there's a lot more talk about the climate crisis and what's happening in the environment, and they're seeing the impacts of that in all over, you know, their own communities. And so that also matters. And to the extent that they join a company, they want to know what our company is doing to help deal with that and help advance and make sure that we're being responsible in the context of the world. And so those are just a few other things that I think are important to keep in mind.
Absolutely. And now I'm going to call it a rapid four.
Okay.
What has been the best thing you've seen come out of the HR community in the past year?
Wow. Really good question. So many great things. So it's hard for me to point out one, but I think what I've actually seen is maybe a little bit more recognition of the importance of HR and HR taking care of not only the employees, but each other. So HR has not been an easy job in the last few years, right? COVID and managing that across a global workforce, super challenging. Number two would be a lot of companies have faced layoffs or reductions in force or restructuring, which is also difficult to achieve. And so what I've seen is the HR community kind of rally around each other to support each other in these times and kind of what used to be maybe a sense where the stuff you do in the at work kind of stay with the company, much more willing to share and kind of open source HR, sharing tips and tricks and tools and techniques, which I think is awesome to advance the function. And then the second is leveraging that to help employees and help people maybe if they had to transition out of one company into another. You know, I see a lot of HR colleagues of mine helping, you know, people they know in terms of networking and identifying new opportunities. And I'm hopeful that also helps shift the perception of HR too over time, right? That, you know, a lot of people get into HR because they really do genuinely want to help people. And I think some of that has that's, you know, they're committing themselves to that.
Absolutely. And what is one emerging trend that you are excited about in HR or would like to see come out of the HR community this year?
Yeah. Well, I spoke a little bit about it in the podcast today around artificial intelligence. I mean, I think that will be a complete transformative game changer over time. And it will transform things in a number of ways, right? Just how some of the work gets done and taking out some of the manual efforts that can sometimes be pretty draining in HR. I think it can also be in providing resources real time to a lot of employees that they need that I think will be really beneficial. And it will also just transform in general, like rethinking what roles are even needed in the workplace and what ones could be automated or handled through AI, that's a really big strategic shift. And as an HR person, it's probably one of the most transformative things to happen to work in the last 100 years. And so if you're in HR right now and you are working through that transition, you're in an extremely important profession in a really critical time.
What is something you have recently learned about yourself that you feel has made you into an even better leader?
Well, I think it's always a work in progress, I would say. I think the importance of continuing to network with, you know, colleagues across different industries, you know, going in and spending time here in consulting has helped me realize, you know, I'm spending a lot of time with people in a lot of different companies and able to see a lot of the different trends and things that are happening and draw different conclusions, and also able to identify where there are opportunities for people I have met to help others in different companies. And so I've enjoyed being a bit of a connector in that way and helping people solve challenges, not necessarily by always leveraging, you know, my experience, but me just connecting them with others who I know have the experience that they need that can benefit them. And I found that to be, you know, personally somewhat satisfying. And I think, you know, as you think and you get into your career longer, don't underestimate the benefit of the network you've built. Like, that group of people are, you know, really amazing, and they have a lot of skills that can help others. And maybe some of the best things you can do is giving them those opportunities. And, you know, that's been pretty satisfying, I would say.
What is the best piece of advice that you've received in your career and that you can pass along to your HR recruitment professionals?
I've had a, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before. So if I have, and people have listened to this before, I'm sorry if I'm saying it twice. But one of the best pieces of advice I remember receiving, they're kind of, it's sort of related. There's two of them that are kind of the same. One of them was, if it is to be, it's up to me. And I think what that says is take personal responsibility. Yeah. So if you see something that needs to be changed or you see something that could be improved, don't wait for others to do it. Take the initiative and suggest changes and try to push it forward and make progress. Pull in others to help you for sure. But you know, if you take personal responsibility and show ownership, that is actually great in growing your skills, but also having people grow confidence in you. And I had another mentor once who said, she who writes the memo controls the outcome. And I think what that means is, you know, if you have thoughts and you're working on something, write it out, go for it, put your opinion out there. And when there's a big project and it's a question of who's going to write the deck or who's going to, you know, write the memo, volunteer, be the one to kind of put yourself out there. Sometimes it feels a little scary, but you will learn a lot through the process and people will see you as the driver. And that is, you know, helpful for your career as you move forward. And so I think both of those are kind of interrelated, and hopefully it's helpful for people.
Thank you so much for sharing, Jesse. And of course, thank you so much for your time.
Good to be here again. Thanks again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to our audience, thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, you can always keep up with our latest episodes on LinkedIn and X at HR Daily Advisor. And the full library of HR Works podcasts, past episodes are now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Audible. We're also regularly uploading to our HR Daily Advisor YouTube channel, which includes some podcast episodes as well as new videos and other kinds of content. Again, I'm Bianca Heron. I hope you found at least one gem in our conversation that works for you and your organization. Take care.